All right, great song, right? Who is he?
Jesus
Christ. That's right. That's who we're going to talk about today. The song that we sang, Victory in Jesus, is the reason that we're going to end up our lessons today on our spiritual warfare. Jesus is the only way that we get the victory. And I want to show you that today. And we'll go through some scripture as we end. And we're going to talk about the defeated foe. We're going to talk about the defeated foe, which of course is Satan. And just so you guys know, we're going to start introducing a worship song like this to go along with our traditional hymns, probably one or two a month, so everybody gets used to them, learns the words, and starts to sing, because it does get people involved in a different way, and we want to do that. So let's look back where we are. We've talked about our spiritual warfare. We've talked about our enemy. Last week, we got really deep into the enemy's tactics. And this week, we're going to talk about the victory. Why do we need to talk about this? Because we all who are Christians should know that we've won the victory. But for non-Christians, the victory only comes, as the song says, in Jesus Christ. And that is a great, great phrase, in Christ. There's so much that is included in being in Christ. We're going to have to talk about that someday. But for the non-believer, being in Christ means that they have to come to Christ. We talked in the high school class this morning about, is it okay to have non-Christian friends? Yes, that's great. But we got to make sure that we're witnessing to those non-Christian friends. That's a great opportunity. Friendship, as we've seen, is the best way that you can get people to come to church, to talk about Jesus Christ, and to learn about the gospel. And for those of us who are Christians, we want to understand the victory because we want to live like we're victorious. We've talked a lot, and I really want you to get this, that Satan has zero power over a child of God unless we give it to him. Last week we talked about not giving Satan a foothold, not letting him in the door, so to speak. We don't want him to get a foothold or an opportunity in our lives to take and make us follow him. Anybody remember the comedian Flip Wilson? I'm showing my age here. Yeah, a few of us remember Flip Wilson, really funny comedian back in the late 60s and 70s. And he had a routine called The Devil Made Me Do It. And the devil made him or his wife, Geraldine, do everything. Buy a new dress, buy a new car, tell a little lie, whatever it was. He always blamed the devil. That's not true. Okay? It was funny, but it wasn't true. We make choices, as we saw last week, to believe the devil's lies. We make choices to act independently of God's will. We make choices to act impatiently with God's will. We make choices to let the guilt that Satan throws at us have some effect on us. And we make choices to accept his temptation. So we make choices to go buy that new dress or go buy that new car, or go whatever it is that Satan is wanting us to do. But the key word in every one of those things that I just said was choices. And we need to understand that we as children of God have won the victory and we do not have to make those choices to follow Satan. You guys ever have a situation where you know, for instance, that you're going to go out on a weekend or you're going to go with some friends maybe and you sort of know how it's going to end up? Anybody ever had that situation? I know if I go out with Mark that we're going to have trouble. Not this Mark, my friend Mark. My other friend, Mark. But, you know, what's going to happen? What are we going to do? And we don't have to have the same old repeating defeat. And that's what this is for Christians. We can be victorious. We have the ability to choose to live victoriously. And the key is the choice. And the choice that we have is to follow what God says. We can either follow what God says or we follow what Satan says. It's really that simple because God's commands are clear, God's word is clear, and we just need to understand that if we follow God's word, Satan is already a defeated foe, right? So that's what we're going to look at today. start in step one here. Satan has already been defeated by Christ. And I'm going to show you three ways that Christ has already defeated Satan. First of all, we know that he successfully resisted Satan while he was on earth. And I gave you Matthew 4:11, and this is the story of Jesus' temptation in the desert. He's led by the Spirit to be tempted of Satan, and Satan does his best. We read this last week. Satan does his best to make him sin, to make him fall down and worship Satan. And again, this is the creator of the universe, the person, the God who created Satan, has the audacity, Satan does, to say, fall down and worship me. And how did Jesus resist him? I've heard it a couple times, through the Scriptures. Yeah, he had the Spirit and he resisted him through Scripture. So we saw that Christ was successful in resisting the devil when he was on the earth. So that's the first one. We see Christ exercising authority over Satan, even in his earthly ministry. Matthew 8:31 says, "So the devils besought him, saying, if you cast us out, let us go into that herd of swine." So the devils acknowledged that he was able to have authority over them. And it's like the one last week we talked about where the devil said, it's not time yet. It's not time for the Son of God to do what he's going to do. But Jesus has authority over the devils. He has authority over Satan. Luke 9:42 says, "And yet as he was coming, a devil threw him down." This is talking about a child. And tore him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. So Christ has exercised authority over the devils while he was here on earth. But the biggest thing that Jesus did to show that Satan has already been defeated was to be crucified and resurrected. Do you know how much Satan actually fought the resurrection? Think about it. He's come up with all of these lies. We're going to talk in a few weeks in Easter about all the stories that Satan has come up with about the resurrection. But you know what? The unmistakable truth is Jesus Christ was resurrected. We have 500 plus people who saw Jesus after his resurrection. We have non-believers writing stories about Jesus. Josephus, a Roman historian, wrote, and he just kind of did it offhandedly. He said, "This Jesus Christ who was crucified, comma, and resurrected, comma." That was what he wrote. Just like, oh, you know what? No big deal. This guy was killed and he came back to life. It's an odd way of saying it, but it is the fact that it's in a Roman history, obviously Roman non-Christian history, that Jesus Christ was resurrected. The Quran even teaches us that Jesus Christ was resurrected, right? So there's all kinds of evidence that Jesus Christ was resurrected. And by his death and resurrection, he completed, we call this the completed work of Christ, he completed the defeat of Satan. And I've given you some scriptures and I just want to go through those. Listen to these. Colossians 2:15 says, "And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." And circle that verse, because what that word triumphing means is having a victory parade. That word is the word that was used when the Roman generals would come in and they would have beaten somebody in a war. They would come back and they would lead their army, always on a white horse, through the streets of Rome. And that would be the triumphant entry of the general. It is exactly the same word that is used in Colossians for Jesus defeating Satan. He had a parade, a victory parade. And I want you to get the sense of that. Can you imagine that you're in Rome and here comes your general who's defeated this foreign army, bringing all these these prizes back in, bringing a bunch of slaves back in. He's bringing everything that they just conquered in. And that's the parade that you're in. That's what Jesus did, and that's how the Bible describes his victory. You see that? This is an exciting thing. It should be an exciting thing for us, because this is proof that Satan has been defeated. Hebrews 2:14 is the next one you have, and it says, "For as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil." So through death, Christ destroyed Satan. Right? 1 John 3:8 says, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." And then John 12 tells us that the prince of the world has been cast out. Jesus said, "And that if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to me." So he cast out Satan by his death and resurrection. So this is the victory that we have. We know that Satan is a defeated foe. Why is he still around? God has a purpose in allowing him to be here until the time of the tribulation. We know, and we're going to see in a minute, that Satan has an ultimate final end. And it's not a good end for Satan. It is an eternal judgment of damnation. But while he's here, he's defeated, and we need to understand that. Now you say, why is this important? Because Christ did all this. How does this relate to me? That's part two. So look at your outline, and this is really where it gets personal. This is where it gets important, because Jesus said, look, he that is in you, talking about the Holy Spirit, is greater than he who is in the world. Who's in the world right now? Yeah, who's the ruler of this air? Who's the ruler of the world right now? Satan, yeah. But Jesus, God, is greater than Satan. We know this. So here we go. This is part two. Christ empowers all believers to join in his defeat of Satan. This is not just something that God did. This is something that God did for us. We have victory in Jesus. So he empowers us, and I want to go through this to remind you of what we've learned already and to talk about how it is that we can join in Satan's defeat on a daily basis. First of all, believers are empowered to resist the devil. Everybody turn to James 4:7. James 4:7. And we're going to look at these verses in a little more detail so that you understand and you really believe that you are empowered to join in Christ's victory. We can't do it ourselves. You got to remember that. We do it through the power of the Holy Spirit, and we do it based upon that victory in Jesus, what he did for us. But we have this ability. The first thing we have is the ability to resist the devil. James 4:7 says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." So look at that verse. We can resist the devil, and if we resist the devil, what does he do? He flees. That's a good thing, right? Having the devil run away from us is a really good thing. But there's a first part of that verse. Did you get that? It says, "Submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil." So we can't resist the devil successfully unless we are submitting ourselves to God. And James is not the only one that talks about submission or resisting the devil, but he puts this precursor on it that we have to submit to God. We have to let God live in us, surrender our wills to him, and if we do that, then we're going to have the ability to resist the devil. And we're going to resist the devil just like our best example, Jesus Christ, did. We're going to talk about Scripture. We're going to use Scripture. We're going to live obediently. Go over to 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Probably 4 or 5 pages over in your Bible. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. We looked at one of these verses earlier, but he says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour." But verse 9, "Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brothers that are in the world." So we are to resist the devil. We are to watch out for him, but we are to resist when he attacks, knowing, as Peter says, that the same afflictions, the same problems that we're having, they've always been around. Now, they may take a different shape and form today, but they've always been around. Idolatry's always been around. Satan has always been around. Money worship has been around. Pornography has been around. Alcohol has been around. Drugs have been around. Everything you can think of that is a problem today has been around. Different form, maybe, but it's there. And we are given the ability to resist the devil by Jesus. So that's what we have to do first. We can join him in the defeat of Satan every single day and every single problem if we resist the devil. Now, obviously, what the opposite of resisting the devil is what? Going along with him. So that temptation comes along and you say, "That sounds fun. I'm going to do that." Okay? Usually that's the way the temptations are. The devil doesn't tempt us to do something that doesn't sound fun. But we get tempted and we need to stop and think, is this something that God would want me to do? All right. The second thing, believers are empowered to withstand the attacks of the devil. So we can resist him, first of all. Doesn't mean he's going to flee eventually, right? But he's going to attack. We know the Bible tells us that he will attack. So everybody, let's go back to Ephesians chapter 6 one more time. And we're going to read verses 10 through 18 again. This is the armor of God. So Jesus has empowered us to withstand the attacks of the devil. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. And he's going to describe the armor, but I want you to listen for the word stand or withstand. And every time you see it in your Bible, underline it. Put a note beside it. Because you're going to understand what Jesus has equipped us to do. Beginning in verse 10, he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." So you see all the times in there that God has told us the goal. The goal is to withstand the attacks of the devil and to basically stand up in light of those attacks. Satan's idea, Satan's goal, is to beat us down through all of those tactics we talked about last week. Lies, guilt, pride, all those things we talked about. He wants to push us down. Our job is to stand. And that armor lets us stand. And I think the kids may have been studying the armor of God today, that if you've got the armor of God, you're protected. Your feet are based. Your feet have got the spikes in them. You're not going anywhere. Your torso's protected. Your head's protected. You got this big shield, and you've got a offensive weapon, which is the sayings of God, right? You've got Bible verses at your disposal. Now, what happens if we make a choice. Remember, it's a choice. If we make a choice today, I don't want to put that armor on today. You're going unprotected. How many of you, hopefully, that are driving don't do this? How many of you decide, I'm not going to put my seatbelt on today? I'm not going to do it. I hope none of you. Why do we wear seatbelts? We wear seatbelts for our protection. Right? It's the same reason we put on the armor. We put on the armor for our protection, and because Jesus said, I'm giving you my armor. I'm giving you all the armor you need in order to withstand the schemes of the devil. We just have to put it on. It's like the first thing. We have to choose to resist the devil because we have to choose to submit to God. Third, believers are empowered to overcome the devil. Now, we overcome the devil by resisting him and withstanding his attacks. Understand that. But we are empowered to overcome the devil. 1 John 2:13 says, and he's writing to a group of believers that have different levels of maturity, and he says, I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. And I write unto you, little children, because you've known the Father. So what he's saying is that there are maturities, but you can get to that level where you can overcome the devil. Now, we have, at the moment we are saved, all the power that God gives us to overcome the devil by resisting him and by withstanding his attacks. We have to use those attacks. We have to be smart enough when we wake up in the morning to put on that armor. We have to be willing to resist. We have to be willing to submit. But if we do those things, we can overcome the devil. And Revelation is the great verse. It says, Revelation 12:11, and they overcame him, and here's how, by the blood of the Lamb. That's the only way we ever overcome Satan, by the blood of Jesus Christ. So we need to think about what Jesus did every day. Don't take it for granted. When you're talking about the armor of God, think about it. You are talking about the armor of God. He's the one that protects your mind. He's the one that protects your torso, protects your waist, holds you steady. He does it through the tools that he gives you. But just remember, you're doing it through Jesus Christ. Believers are delivered. Past tense, we're going to look at this verse. They are delivered from the power of Satan. Turn to Colossians 1:13. And the key is, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And all of those words are past tense. When we decided, made the choice to put our faith in Jesus Christ, confess him as Lord and Savior, we were delivered. It's a done deal. Now, anybody feel like Satan's still harassing you? Yeah. And the Bible doesn't promise us that when we become saved, Satan leaves. And you know, Satan left Jesus after the temptation in the desert. That wasn't the only time he tempted Christ. The Bible tells us he came back. He came back through lots of different people. We see several of them in the Scripture. Satan will always, always, always attack. Because he knows he's lost us. The moment we were saved, we moved, as Acts 26:18 says, we moved from darkness to light. We moved from being under the control and power of Satan to being under the control and power of God. So we've moved. Satan can only hurt our witness, can only hurt our testimony. But the point is, again, that Christ empowered us to be delivered. All we have to do is make that confession again that we believe in him and we are delivered. And we need to understand that it's a done deal. We need to understand it's past tense so that we don't have to bow to Satan. We don't have to give in to temptation. We don't have to give in to his lies. But you got to be real careful. Y'all ever been misled by something? And you, how'd you feel afterwards when you found out it was false? You feel like you got tricked, got hoodwinked, you know? And that's not a good feeling, is it? Satan's out there. He is the most cunning liar that you will ever see. And we have to be on guard to resist him, to withstand his attacks, to overcome him, and to be delivered. And the last thing that we've got to remember is, and I know this is really a repeat, but it's believers are empowered and delivered by Jesus Christ. I could spend all day talking about just that one thing, but we need to understand it because we're not delivered and empowered by our faith. We are delivered and empowered by the one in whom we have faith, right? We're not empowered and delivered by something we do. We are empowered and delivered by having faith in what he did for us. So Jesus Christ is the end of all of our worship. He is the end of all of our victory. And we just need to realize that. And we need to live like that. You know, I gave you an example of knowing what's going to come about when you go out with certain friends or certainly that was more like it in college. We knew what we were going to do. We knew the trouble we were going to get in if we went out with a certain group. Did we still go out with that group? Yeah, unfortunately. And that same self-fulfilling prophecy usually happened. But we don't have to make that choice. We can make the choice to break from that chain of defeat and live in victory. And you do that just by saying, God, help me resist Satan. Show me how I can resist him. Let me put that armor on. Let me overcome him on this issue. And you resist with the Word of God. You resist with prayer. You resist with fellowship. That's why Christ said, hey, look, in Hebrews, don't fail to come together into church. Yeah, you can study your Bible at home. You can watch a TV preacher, but you're among friends here. You're among people who have had the same experiences that you've had, and they can help you deal with those problems. So Christ empowers all believers to join in the defeat of Satan. And then finally, Satan will finally be defeated. There comes a time when God winds it up. And the Bible tells us, first of all, Romans 16:20, that Satan will be crushed under our feet. And the hour is the church. The hour is the body of believers who compose the church. So Satan is going to be crushed under our feet. Who's going to crush him? Jesus, right. And we're going to participate in that. But Jesus is the victor. Jesus is the one that brings us the victory. And the final torment awaits in a final judgment from God. John put it this way in Revelation chapter 20. He says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and get this, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So Satan has an end. If you come into our Revelation study on Sunday nights, you know Satan knows this end. He doesn't want us to know the end. But get what God's saying here. He says, church, you are going to be victorious. Despite all the persecution that the church is going to go through, is going through, and it's getting worse. Despite the persecution that's going to come to this country for the church, it's already started. It's going to get worse. The Bible tells us it will get worse. Despite all the persecution, despite all the martyrdom, despite all the death, Satan will be crushed under your feet. And that's a victory. And that's a victory we get to participate in. And Satan's going to be finally judged at the end of time. Well, not at the end of time. At the end of God's earthly timetable. And he's going to spend eternity while we are with him. We are with Jesus Christ and God in heaven. Satan is going to be eternally tormented in hell. a place that was prepared for him. So we know, looking back at this now, Christ has already defeated Satan. He empowers us to defeat Satan. And get this, he empowers us to defeat Satan now. Now. All through the present. And he empowers us to defeat Satan in the future. Such that there is no reason for us to fall victim of Satan anymore. And he promises us that this victory is already won. And we've seen all those fulfilled prophecies where God's word has come true about everything that's happened up to date. And we know that God's been 100% accurate to today. He's going to be 100% accurate in the future. And we know Satan is a finished foe. So, as we conclude this series on our spiritual warfare, we don't need to feel like we're losing. You look at the news, we're losing. Y'all see that? You listen to that news broadcast, we're losing. You listen to the world, we're losing. You listen to your politicians, we're losing. You listen to your government, we're losing. You listen to pretty much anybody, we're losing. You listen to Satan, we're really losing. In fact, we're losing so bad, why even bother anymore, right? That's the lie. Because who said we're winners? God did. And who are we going to listen to above all of those people? You're going to listen to God, the one who sent his son to die for us, the one who wrote this great book, this love story that he has with people on earth, and about the great sacrifices that he made so that we could spend our eternity with him. Do you know that nowhere in the Bible, we see lots of demonic activity, lots of satanic activity in the Bible. Do you know that nowhere in the Bible is there an example of Satan taking a true believer? Do you know why there isn't? Because it can't be done. Once you belong to God, what does he say? Nothing can take you out of my hand. Not, he goes through this long list and he says, nor any created thing. And that's what we need to remember. Satan was a created thing, right? He was an angel. No created thing can take us out of the love of God. So we need to live like that. And if you live like that, if you live knowing that you don't have to experience defeat, if you live like you've already won, yeah, you got to be cautious. But we're going to live like we already won. We're going to see the banana peel on the floor and we're not going to slip on it this time, right? We're going to make a difference in the way we live, the way we walk, the way we succeed, the way we fight, because we know the end of the battle. Doesn't it help you to know how it's going to end, to excite you about how you're going to proceed? Because sometimes we got to persevere. God says, look, you may have to persevere just like Job did, but I've given you the ability, and here's the carrot I'm dangling. That carrot is you win in the end, right? But we only win in Christ. So for those of us who are Christians already, we need to stop doing it on our own. We need to stop trying to answer all the questions on our own. We need to turn to Jesus Christ and say, what is it that you want me to do? How do you want me to submit to you so that I can resist the devil? How do you want me to live so that I can be a winner? And we get that answer through his word. For non-believers, this is the verse that needs to stick. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You can only have the victory, as I've said 30 times probably already, you can only have the victory through Jesus. If you don't yet have Jesus Christ, you're not going to have the victory. You're going to be following Satan's pattern of defeat over and over and over and over again. Jesus Christ breaks this chain of defeat and turns Satan into the defeated foe. So if you're here today and you have not accepted Jesus Christ, you are on the losing team. The Bible says you're on the losing team. Nobody wants to be on the losers, right? Anybody have a goal of being a loser? I don't think so. It doesn't work that way. Life doesn't work that way. But in order to win this battle, you can only do it through Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, our Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your word. We thank you that Satan, our foe, your foe, is defeated. Lord, we thank you for Jesus who gave us the victory. Lord, we just thank you for his armor. We thank you for his provision. We thank you for his love. We thank you for all that he did for us so that we do not have to live in defeat. We don't have to live in fear. You've not given us a spirit of fear. We don't have to live dreading what the devil's going to do. Lord, we can live in a confident assurance of what you have already done. Lord, if there be anybody here who has not yet put their faith in you, we just want to pray that they would do so that they have the opportunity to share in that victory, because otherwise they're defeated too. Their life pattern is going to be one of defeat. If they turn to you, it does not mean that life is going to get all of a sudden really easy. But what it does mean is that they are victors in the end, and they for once have the ability to resist the devil. They have the ability to withstand the devil's attacks, to overcome him, and to be delivered from the destruction that he brings. Lord, have your way this morning as we sing your invitation. Move in people's lives as you would have them to do. And I pray that anyone who feels the need to respond would do so. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.